Ladies, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the New Testament this morning. We're in the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, you come to the New Testament. You probably recognize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Turn to your right several pages through the books of Acts and Romans, and then you'll come to 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 4 for our text today, but we will look at some verses in chapter 2 and refer to some others in chapter 9 as well. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. And if you would, please join me on the second and fourth verses, the even-numbered verses, as we read down through these four verses in our text. Now, I'm reading verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 3, and our Bible says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, would you please prepare our hearts now for the preaching of your word? And I guess, Lord, we have a great part in that as well. We have to prepare our hearts, and Lord, hopefully you will open our eyes and show us some wonderful things from the Scripture. May our hearts be ready to receive it. I pray that the seed of your word will fall on good ground today and bring forth fruit. God, may there be growth in our lives because we came to church this morning. Speak to us, help us, I pray, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, be seated.
I know the master of the wind. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, I know the master of the wind. Shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the sky. Among the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. Brings me low, but never brings me down. I know the master. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. I know the master of the wind. I know the master.
Thank you, Brother Caleb and Emily. I appreciate that. All right, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to see, verse number 3 says, "For ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men." I want to speak this morning on the subject, don't run in place. Don't run in place. You'll understand the title as we jump into the message today and use these verses and others to hopefully say something that will be a challenge and a help to our hearts today. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Please now come and give us something that will help build us for the cause of Christ. Lord, I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson I heard this morning about the purpose of the church and to motivate God's people to accomplish a mission. And Lord, we're not here just to occupy space on a street corner in this town. God, help us, I pray, as a group of people, as a called-out assembly of born-again believers, to accomplish something in the race that we're running. Help me, I pray. There is only one who can give us in these moments what we need. That is the Spirit. So, Spirit of God, would you please touch us, anoint us, bless us, and help us to listen carefully and hear what you say to our hearts this morning. Well, thank you for it. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I preached last Sunday morning on the subject, Finishing the Race. Staying in the Race was the title of it last week. Stay in the race until you cross the finish line. These were the points from the message last Sunday. Saved people are in a race. Number two, the race is not about speed. The race is about finishing. Number three, don't lose sight of Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says. And then lastly, joy is set before us. As you run the race, remember that joy is set before you. That's what Christ remembered, okay? He endured the cross because of the joy that was set before Him. I don't think there was any joy in the cross for Jesus Christ. There was pain. There was agony. There was more than physical pain and agony. There was the spiritual separation from His Father up in heaven when God turned His back on His own Son. So I don't think for the experience of the 6 hours and the little time before that, if you will, in Pilate's judgment hall, in Herod's judgment hall, I don't think there was any joy in the experience of the crucifixion for Jesus. But, friend, when He sat down at the right hand of His Father in heaven, His work's mission accomplished, there was great joy in His heart. And joy is set before those of us who want to finish the race. Now, our goal is to stay in, finish our race, to say with the Apostle Paul, I have finished my course. But now, here's my message today. As we run the race with the goal of finishing, we do have some objectives to accomplish along the way. We ought not just be running for running's sake. We ought not just be running for running's sake. Paul said it this way in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians in verse 26. Don't turn to it. Let me read the verse to you. Paul said, listen carefully, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now, what Paul was saying was that he had a purpose for running the race. He said, I therefore so run. There was a purpose for his race. He didn't want to simply just run in place. He said, I don't just beat the air. Isn't that really all you do when you run in place? You just kind of beat the air. You're in the same place. You know, somebody asked me this morning, have you been out running? I forget who asked me this morning. I think Brother Palmateer asked me, did you get out running? And I said, yes, I was out a couple times this week. And then I got convicted because I should be out more than a couple times. I need to be out 4 or 5 times a week. But I made it out 2 times this week. And I love this time of the year because I can run outside. Pretty soon, I am not one of these all-weather run-outside types. Amen. And when it gets cold, I'm a sissy. And if it's raining, I'm a sissy. And I have in the basement what some of you have in some room in your house, the treadmill. Yes, I said it correctly. It's not called the treadmill. It's the treadmill. Amen. And I don't know anything good about it. And honestly, you know, it gets my heart rate up. And by the time I'm done, I'm perspiring. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And unless you got a hunting video or something to watch, you see them shooting deer or something, you know, it's just really no, I mean, it is the most, to me, and I know my mind tells me, okay, your heart rate is up and you're getting your breathing, your lungs are working and it's good, but it just seems so futile. You know, at least going down the road, the thing tells me I ran 2.6 miles and never left it. You know, when I get out there, I know what a mile and a half is at my place or a mile and a quarter, and I can run that far and run back, so I've run 2.5 miles. I can see it. And so useless. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, I therefore so run. I got a purpose for running. I want to finish, but I want to accomplish something. I don't run as one that beateth the air. He desired to make some progress in his race. Now, that ought to be our goal as well. I'm going to talk about that this morning. Don't run in place. Look, you got saved. Saved people in a race. You're in the race. Now, don't run in place. Don't just beat the air, okay? You want to accomplish something. Now, let me break it down like this in three parts today. First of all, let me talk about before the race. Let me talk about before the race. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just the previous chapter, and look at verse number 14. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, now notice that word natural, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, do you see that verse? The Bible says, but the natural man, that word natural, the natural man, and when it says man, it's talking about mankind. You could substitute the word person there. He's talking about men and women, boys and girls, teenagers, young men, young ladies. He's talking about mankind, the natural man, the natural person. Now, what is that? What is the natural person? The natural person is what we were before we got into the race. Remember, only saved people are in the race. Only saved people are in the race. So the natural man or the natural person is one that is in their original or natural condition, the condition that they are in by nature. And that condition, my friend, the Bible teaches us, is lost and unsaved. You know who the natural person is? The natural person is you and me before we got saved. The natural person is you and me before we got started in the race. This is you and me in our natural condition. You know, I'm still amazed when I go out visiting and talking to people. Maybe it's following up a survey on one of the free teams or an action team visit. I'm still amazed at the people that I run into who tell me this. They'll say, Pastor, I've been a Christian all my life. I've been a Christian all my life. You know, now maybe what they mean by that is, you know, they have been, maybe they mean they were brought up in church. Or maybe they mean that, you know, they have had a Bible in their home. Or maybe they mean that, you know, but when they went to sleep at night, they prayed, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Or maybe they mean by that you know, they had some other good religious accomplishment. Maybe they got baptized or something like that. But they say to you, I have been a Christian all of my life. But do you understand this morning that none of those things I just mentioned makes you a born-again, saved child of God? None of them. You can have all of those things and still die and go to hell. That's awful. That's awful to have a Bible in your home and die and go to hell. It's awful to have a Bible. It's awful to be baptized and yet die and go to hell. It's awful to be a member of a church and yet die and go to hell. It's awful to pray a prayer, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Awful to pray a prayer like that and die and go to hell. But friend, I'm here to tell you this morning, not my opinion, not speculation, on the authority of God's Word, you can have all of those things and still be a natural person, a natural man who will die and be separated from God in the devil's hell forever and ever. Now I want you to see the only thing that changes your natural condition. There's only one thing that changes your natural condition. Look at verse number 12. Look at verse number 12. Same chapter, chapter 2, verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That is the only thing that changes you and me from being a natural person into a spiritual person. That is, you receive the spirit of God. And you only receive the spirit of God when you get saved by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't receive the Spirit of God because you stood up in a meeting sometimes where people were talking in unknown languages and howling like wolves and said, fill me, Spirit, fill me. And you say, man, I got filled. Yeah, you might have got filled, but you better check which Spirit filled you. You don't get the Spirit before you get salvation. There's a proper order in the Word of God. And the Spirit of God only comes into the bodies of those people who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is, they have come to Christ in repentance and faith, saying to Christ, I am a sinner. I am guilty of my sin. I have nobody else to blame for my sin. I have disobeyed God. I cannot get myself to heaven. I deserve the eternal separation that's called hell. That's what I deserve. But I believe that Jesus died for me, was buried in an old tomb, and came out of there 3 days and three nights later. And I believe if I ask Him to be my Savior, He'll save me. That's repentance and faith. And when you come to Christ in repentance and faith, the Spirit of God moves in your body. The natural person becomes a spiritual person. Now, I'm saying this morning, friend, if that's the only way you can be saved, that's the only way you can be saved. The Spirit which is of God comes in us. You see, everybody needs to be born again. We've all been born physically. That's the product of the union between our dad and our mom. We all need to be born a second time. That second birth is the product of the Word of God and of the Spirit of God working together to bring us to salvation. The first birth is physical. The second birth is spiritual. We receive the Spirit of God when you're born into His family. And the Spirit of God living in us is what makes us a child of God. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Paul said. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Now listen to this verse, Romans 8:9. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know what those two verses tell us? The only way you can make a legitimate claim to be a child of God is if the Spirit of God lives in you. If the Spirit of God does not live in you, you are not a child of God. The Bible is very plain on that thing. And the only way the Spirit of God lives in you is if you've been saved. If you've been born into God's family. That's the only way the Spirit of God lives in you. And if you're not saved this morning, my friend, you are what the Bible calls the natural man. You're unsaved. Now look, you say, well, I'm not a bad person. I didn't say you're a bad person. I said you're a natural person. And all natural people are sinners. Now, I don't have time to preach all this morning like I want to, but my wife and I had six kids. I never taught any of my children how to tell a lie. But they all lied to me. The sixth one is terrible. She lies all the time. I just get... And the truth of the matter is, nobody taught you and me how to lie, but we all lied. Okay, that's the... You say, well, I'm not a bad person. No, but you probably told a lie. You know what that makes you? It makes you a liar. You know what lying is? It's sin. Now look, I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. I'd hate to think that anybody would leave the doors, that leave through the doors this morning and go home thinking that, you know, hey, I've been to church and that's good enough to get me to heaven. No, it's not. You need to be saved. You need to be born again into God's family. And if your heart is pounding this morning, you say, man, that preacher won't let up. It's not me, friend. It's the Spirit of God in mercy, the Spirit of God in grace, working on you and drawing you. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Be saved. That's a wonderful thing. And you can come and be saved this morning. Now watch it. Look at what it says here. Look at verse 14. Look at it again. Are you 2:14? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That means the natural people, unsaved people, cannot receive the things of God. Look at what it says. But they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, before I got saved, I knew the stories of the Bible. How many of you, before you got saved, you knew the stories of the Bible? Or some of them, huh? Okay. I mean, I knew about David. Who doesn't know about David and Goliath? Lost people know about David and Goliath. Men will say at a sports game, this is David versus Goliath. All right? So, you could say, well, I knew the stories of the Bible, but that's about all I knew was the stories. I never understood all the spiritual lessons and the principles and the truths from those stories until I got saved. I'll say something else. Truth of the matter is, I didn't even care to know them. I didn't want to know them. Because this book, to a natural person, an unsaved person, is a closed book. I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand it. It was just, It was boring. I don't mean to be irreverent about God's Bible. I'm trying to be candid with you and honest. It was boring. Oh, October 15, 1975, I got saved. And the Spirit of God moved in me. And now, all of a sudden, wow! This book came alive! Wait. Let me rephrase that. I came alive to this book. This book was already alive. You say, I don't get anything out of the Bible. It's a closed book to me. It's not a live book. No, it's a live book. You're dead to it. See, when you get saved, the Spirit of God moves in your body. And the Spirit of God is the one that gave us this book. He knows it. He can teach it to us. I've used this illustration before. I went to school up here in Hammond. Dr. Hiles was the pastor of the church and the chancellor of the college. And he wrote a book years ago called Blue Denim and Lace. One time he was on an airplane. He was flying on the airplane some distant city. Sitting across the aisle from him was a woman. Didn't know her, didn't know who she was, didn't know where she was going. He looked across the aisle, and to his amazement, she was reading the book, Blue Denim and Lace. And he said he sat and watched her reaction as she read it. Said she would smile, then she would frown, then she would scratch her head. She was into the book. It was a layover flight. They didn't change planes. They stopped. And so they stopped at an airport, and the people that were getting off the plane, deplaning, got off. And they said, you know, in a few minutes, the others will board. We'll be on our way. And so he said to her, he said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading this book called Blue Denim and Lace. He said, do you like it? She said, yeah, it's a pretty good book. He said, my name is Jack Hiles. She dropped her mouth. She couldn't believe it. She's sitting across the aisle from the author of the book she was reading. He said, now, is there any part of the book you didn't understand? She said, well, there certainly is. Yes, there is back here. You said this. What do you mean by that? And Jack Hiles said, they sat on the plane for a few minutes there before taking off, and he explained to her what he meant. Who better to explain the book than the one who authored it? Now look, when you become saved, the Spirit of God will explain this book to you. It's a sad thing to be unsaved. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Look, a caterpillar in its natural state cannot fly and enjoy all that there is to see and do. All it can do is what? Crawl. It is earthbound. But friend, after the caterpillar goes through that process called metamorphosis, it is no longer bound to the earth. It is introduced to an all new world of flying and hopping and flying from flower to flower and soaring and flying. Listen, we are born into this world in a natural, lost, unsaved condition. Earthbound, all we can do is crawl through the muck and the mire of this world. But when we get saved, our eyes, our life is introduced to a brand new world. Boy, if you're in the natural state, if you're in the natural condition this morning, I beg you, come and get saved. In a little bit, you know, we're going to give an opportunity for anybody here. You say, man, in a crowd like this, come and get saved. Boy, the greatest thing that could happen this morning is if one boy, one girl, one teenager, one man, one woman got saved by the grace of God. And became a spiritual person. Not just natural. On your way to heaven instead of on your way to hell. That's pretty good. Now, that's before the race. Okay, I took a long time with that, longer than I really wanted to, but I'm just trying to obey the Spirit of God. Number two, during the race. Let's go to the during the race. All right, now look at chapter 3, verse number 1. Look at during the race. Your 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So, we get saved, and we are now in a race. As soon as you get saved, man, as soon as you get saved, the starting gun sounds, pow, you're in the blocks, and you're off running your course. And our objective is to finish. But along the way, we want to accomplish something. Now, I want you to see what Paul said here. He said, you start out carnal. You start out carnal. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. A baby is one who's just been born physically. Right? Okay. Esther had little Chelsea in the service this morning, in the Sunday school back here, to show it, a little bitty infant, a babe. A baby is one who's just been born. Brother Bragg's not a baby. When he loses basketball games, he acts a little bit like one, but he's not a baby. He's a grown man. All right? Some of these men sitting around here, these boys, teenage girls, they're not babies. Babies are in the nursery. Now, newborn babes in Christ are referred to as carnal. Wait. That's not a bad thing. I'd rather be carnal than natural. Not a bad thing. Paul said to these people, even unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. But now watch me. Listen. It's not wrong to be carnal if you're newly saved. But if you've been saved for a period of time and you're still carnal, that's a problem. That's a problem. And that's what Paul is saying here in this passage. You went from natural and you're born again spiritually as a babe in Christ. You started out as a carnal babe, but now Paul said you need to finish spiritual. You see the two words in verse number one. He said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. And he says, brethren, he's talking to saved people. You haven't grown into a spiritual, mature, adult Christian. Now, wait a minute. You don't have to be 21 years of age to be a mature Christian. You can be a mature Christian at age 16. It has nothing to do with your physical age. It has everything to do with your growth in grace as a child of God, with your running the race, and don't run in place. Paul, see, his complaint was that the believers in Corinth were running in place. Man, the gun sounded. You were at the starting block, and you started running, but you haven't gone anywhere. You haven't grown. You get saved. You're transformed. You were natural. Now you're carnal. But you started on a journey. Boom! As soon as the gun sounded, you started on a journey of growth. You don't stay in a carnal state. There comes a period of maturation and maturity where you become a spiritual child of God. You say, how quick does that happen? It's up to you. How fast do you want to grow? How fast do you want to grow? How long do you want to stay as a baby child of God? Hey, folks, look. And by the way, you say, well, you must be preaching to the people who are newly saved this morning. No, I'm not preaching to them. I'm talking to folks who've been saved for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. And you're still a babe in Christ. You're still a babe in Christ. Still immature. That's who I'm preaching to this morning. That's what Paul's complaint was. People, he said. Brothers. Say, people, I should be able to speak unto you as a mature child of God, but you are still in the infant stage of your Christianity. The word carnal means pertaining to the flesh as opposed to the Spirit. A carnal Christian is saved. A carnal Christian has the Spirit of God living in them. Watch it. But they're still living like they're natural. That's a carnal Christian. Now look, when I first got saved, you know what? For a good while, I lived somewhat like an unsaved person. I had some things to conquer in my life. I had some growth, man. I needed to grow. And that's what a carnal Christian is. What's sad is to see somebody who's been saved for 15 years, 20 years, and they're still carnal. Still an infant. Look, a butterfly that has never gotten off the ground has a problem. If you see a butterfly on the ground, if you're outside with your children and there's a butterfly on the grass or on a bush, and they approach that butterfly, let's say it's on the ground, on the grass, and your child approaches that butterfly, what does that butterfly do? Flies away. That's why they make nets for people to catch them. If your child approaches the butterfly that's on the ground and that butterfly doesn't move, something's wrong. Years ago, we looked outside, and I forget what day it was. It might have been a Friday. We looked outside at the front lawn, and there was a red-tailed hawk on the ground. I thought, man, he's caught a snake or a mouse or something. He's come down, you know. You ever see those red-tailed hawks dive? Oh, man, that's neat. Come out of the grass with a snake or a rat or something. It's excellent. It's wonderful. It's survival of the fittest. It's the way God made it. Amen. It's wonderful. I thought, man, but he stayed there. And so finally I went outside, and I approached that red-tailed hawk, and it didn't move. So I knew something's wrong with that hawk. That's not his nature. Red-tailed hawk doesn't sit on the ground. When a stranger, a human, approaches, they fly away long before the human ever gets close. So I called the conservation department. You can't just take a gun and shoot those things. You go to jail. Get fined. So I called the conservation people, and they came out, and they took a blanket, and they threw the blanket over the hawk, and they got the hawk all wrapped up, and they took it off, and I don't know what became of it, and they said, something's wrong with this hawk. It's sick. See, nature's not to sit on the ground. Nature's to fly. Now, Christian, it is not God's will, once you've been saved, for you to just run in place and be an infant Christian all your life. God wants you to mature. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to become spiritual. You can be saved and be carnal. You're not saved if you're natural, but you can be saved and be carnal if you're living like a natural person. Look, the things with wings have wings for a purpose. They fly. Are you listening this morning? I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching hopefully to you, help you. Now, let me say this today. Listen very carefully. The potential is the same for everybody who gets saved. Everybody who gets saved can become a spiritual, mature Christian. Everybody can. You're saved natural, then you get born again. You become a carnal infant Christian, a babe in Christ. And now the potential is for everybody to become a mature Christian. No one person was given an advantage over another. We all have the potential to run and develop into a spiritual child of God. I remember years ago when I was at Marion Avenue, I think I told this before, I was the bus director along with other things, and one of the guys that was newly saved and stayed in for a while started driving the bus. His name was Dean. And Dean drove the bus for several months, maybe even a year. And then he said, after church one Sunday night, he said, Brother Terry, can I talk to you? I said, sure. So he came in and sat down. And he said, Brother, I need to quit driving the bus. I said, what you want to quit driving the bus for, Dean? It's been a blessing, man. And he said, well, you know what the honest truth is? He said, this whole thing of the Christian life, he said, you know, he said, I look across the auditorium and I see, and he called a guy's name, Dennis. He was referring to Dennis Lackman. He said, I see Dennis. And other guys like Dennis, and man, you know, they just got it together. It seems like everything is okay for them, and, you know, they know the Bible, and they love God, and boy, their life is on track. And he said, you know, Dennis has some things I don't have. And I can never, Dennis didn't start out like me. I don't know how Dennis was, but I'll never be what Dennis is. What he didn't know was that Dennis started out in worse shape than he did. Dennis got saved. He's an old hippie. Had old long hair. Jumped on his motorcycle because he heard about roll-off homes in Texas, Amy. And in a pair of basketball, remember the old basketball shorts? You can't even look at him. He's just like, it's vile. Remember those old basketball shorts? He jumped on his motorcycle with his old long hair and his old basketball shorts all the way down to Corpus Christi, Texas, because he wanted to meet Lester Roloff. Roared into the property that way. He was crazy. He was a nut. He didn't know anything about growth and grace. That's how he started out. I laughed in my seat. I said, Dean, I said, if you knew how Dennis started out, you wouldn't be discouraged. You'd be encouraged. Because here's an example of a man that came from the infancy of being saved, and now he's a mature child of God. And I want to tell you something, Christian friend. If you're under the belief that I can't because Satan has you duped. Every person who gets saved has the potential to be a mature believer. And by the way, you're very, very unwise to compare yourself to somebody else. God measures the maturity of a person. Sure He does. So the potential is the same. Now let me say this. The power is in the Word of God. The power is in the Word of God. Look at verse number 3. He said, well, verse number 2, I'm sorry, chapter 3 again, verse number 2. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. You see those two words, milk and meat. Milk and meat. You see, you get saved and you start off enjoying the milk of God's Word. That starts immediately. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the world, that ye may grow thereby. Now watch me. Peter said in the Word of God, he said the Word of God is like milk. And watch the word here. He said it's like sincere milk. You know what that word sincere means? It means pure. You see, the word sincere is used differently today than it was in its origin. We use the word sincere now to mean real. He's sincere. He's real. But in its origin, it meant pure. The Bible is pure milk, not powdered milk, not 1% or skim or even 2%. It's not even whole. You say, what's the Bible? The Bible is right out of Old Bossy, amen? It's not homogenized. It's not pasteurized. It's squirted out, put in the refrigerator, stuck there overnight, and the cream rises to the top, and you stir it up, and you drink it down. Got milk? Only if you've been to Bossy, buddy. That's all it is. You say, man, if I drank milk like that, I'd be fat. Yep, you'd grow. And that's exactly what happens when you get the pure milk of this book right here. You grow. Brother, this is not powdered. This is not 1%, 2% skimmed, whole. This is the pure, unadulterated, precious Word of God. It's like milk. You get into this book, friend, it'll make you grow. Yes, it will. Sure it will. But wait a minute. After a while, milk doesn't satisfy, does it? Newborn babe. You know, if your 2-month-old is satisfied with milk, that's okay, right? If your 2-year-old is satisfied with milk, you got a problem. I got to go to the doctor. Something's not right. Because you graduate from milk to meat. Remember how they went from milk to cereal? Remember, mom, was the first time you fed them cereal? It was on their nose, on their face. Those of you who try to do it clean, just let them have it. You know, clean them up one time, not 50. Just stick it in. Gets all over. You know what I'm talking about? And the old-time moms, the old-timers, I guess, maybe it's, I don't know, the old-timers, they put a piece of chicken or pork or beef in their mouth, and they'd chew it up and chew it up and chew it up and get it good and tender, and they'd put it in the mouth of the baby. I know, that's... Yeah, you probably wear a helmet on your bicycle ride, too, amen, so... I'm probably going to fall off my bicycle and crack my head wide open. God's going to say, I'll get you for saying all that. you know why I don't like Panera Bread? Because they don't serve steak. How can you claim to be a restaurant if you don't serve steak? You don't have to eat it. It's just got to be on the menu. Oh, my gracious. Look, this is the natural progression of physical life. I start out at milk, and I graduate to cereal, and then I'm going to go to a little bit of those canned sweet jars of sweet potatoes and squash and all that stuff. And pretty soon, glory to God, I get to eat my own food. And then, you know, man. Now, that's what Paul is saying here. Paul's saying there's nothing wrong with those of you who've just been saved enjoying milk. The problem I have, Paul says, is some of you have been saved for 5 years and you're still drinking milk. Still drinking milk. It's very interesting to stand behind a pulpit and preach maybe a light, practical, biblical message as opposed to a deep, biblical message. It's amazing to watch the reaction. Because when you get into some of the deep things of God, it saddens my heart to see folks who've been saved for 15, 25 years, bored. Huh? I can understand a brand new Christian sitting out there going, man, I'm listening, but I'm not getting all this. But I don't understand 25-year-old Christians who've got to be entertained and can't take the meat of God's Word. Come on now. That's what Paul is saying. He said, Corinthians, you know what I got against you? This is what you're doing. That's okay when you first get saved. But my goodness, after 2 or 3 years, don't you think you ought to have made a little progress? Huh? He said, I wanted to feed you meat. You spit it out. Spit it out. Couldn't handle it. Listen very carefully. Do you want to do more than run in place? I'll tell you what you do, friend. If you're newly saved, or if you're still, even if you've been saved and you're still an infant Christian, man, you come to church, read the Bible, get the milk of God's Word, and exercise with it. Use it, and then you develop a hunger for the meat of God's Word, and you come to church and you have your devotions, and you stay in the Bible, and God begins to feed you with meat as opposed to milk. You begin to grow as a child of God. And you know what? The problems of baby Christians are many. The Bible says that they're immature. There's no discernment. Decisions lack judgment. It's sad to see a child of God who's been saved for 25 years making a decision that lacks discernment. Sometimes I want to pull my hair out and go, where's the judgment? Where's the spiritual insight? Where's the discernment? But you see, that only comes with being a spiritual, mature Christian. So as long as you stay in the infant stage or the baby stage, you're not going to be able to make wise choices in life. You got to grow. Spiritual discernment. There's more to this message. I'm out of time. I'm out of time. But I'm simply saying that during the race, every child of God should have a heart to grow, to make some progress, not just to run in place. And then let me say it, I've got to preach, got to finish preaching. After the race, Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 9 that at the end of the race, there is a crown. And you know what Paul said about his crown? He said it's an incorruptible crown. It won't fade away. It's not temporary. It will last forever and ever and ever. Now look, you're going to be rewarded in the race. You're going to be rewarded at the end of the race according to how you did during the race. And if you stayed as an infant Christian, oh, you're going to get to heaven. But if you grew, if you matured, Paul said there's a crown waiting. Now I want to encourage you this morning. And I'm not just talking to people who've been saved in the last year. I'm talking to people who are babes. Grow. Grow. Get in the Bible. Make the Bible part of your life. Get it in you. Take the milk and grow and move to meat and be a mature child of God. Don't spend your saved days running in place. Thank God you're saved. My goodness, if you're going to run, you might as well make some progress. That's what Paul is saying. Don't run in place. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I appreciate your attention. And I trust the Spirit of God spoke to your heart today. Boy, my heart was challenged this week to think about these verses. I wonder who's here today would say, Pastor, that challenged my heart. I don't want to stay an infant. I've been an infant too long. I don't want to just spend my days running in place as a child of God. I'm saved, but I don't want to run in place. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room this morning? God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there one here this morning who would say, let me ask this question. Pastor, I am not even sure that I'm saved. I do not know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. You were talking about the natural person, unsaved, sinful, not on their way to heaven. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I have no idea. In fact, when you were talking about the natural unsaved person, the Spirit of God, somebody was talking to my heart. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? Let me pray for you this morning. Just slip it up. Put it right back down where I can see it. Anybody like that? Front to back, side to side of the balcony. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Not sure that I'm saved. On my way to heaven. Don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. See one hand. God bless you. If you're sincere about that, and it means you're definitely interested in this, friend, I want you to invite you when the invitation starts. You find a way down here to the front. Take one of these men. Come to one of these men and just say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. This is not a game. This is not play. This is eternity. Difference between heaven and hell. So, friend, if you're not sure that you're saved, I invite you to come be saved this morning. Let God speak to your heart. That's all I say. Anybody here today, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I haven't followed the Lord yet in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Somebody like that this morning? I've been saved, but not baptized. Anybody like that in the room today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. All right, God bless you. If you've been saved and baptized, you've talked to one of us about joining the church, you know this is the place God wants you to become a member, then you come. If you would like to talk to one of us about joining the church, you come. Tell one of these fellows, I want to meet with somebody about joining the church. We'll set up a time. Now, child of God, if you raised your hand a little bit ago, you don't want to just run in place, let me encourage you. Man, make a holy commitment to God this morning. God, I want to grow by grace. I want to grow. I don't want to spend my saved days running in place. I want to grow. Oh, you'll have a setback. There's no doubt about it. But when it's all said and done, you want to make progress in the Christian life. That crown that's laid up. You want to win that for Jesus' sake. Maybe you ought to come this morning, just kneel here and say, Dear God, please help me not to run in place. Make progress. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. There was much more I wanted to say, but ran out of time. The Bible's so full of teaching, preaching. Help us this morning. Give us a church full of people who are growing, maturing in Christ. And God, please, thank you for those who've recently been saved and are babes in Christ. And what a joy it is for us to have them in our church. But Lord, if somebody here has been a baby too long, I pray that they decide today they're not going to run in place. Make progress as a child of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And the ladies are playing a song of invitation. This is the time for you to come and kneel this morning and pray. God spoke to your heart. Now, you come while we wait. Many hands went up. I would leave my seat. I would come to the front. I'd kneel. I'd say, God, help me not to run in place. Help me not to run in place. Would you come to me? Take a moment to kneel. That's right. God's leading. God spoke to your heart. God help me. Thank you.